IRS on the Road, value-based parenting and life balance ideas from world-traveling family coaches. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
Hi there, and welcome back to IRS on the Road.
Welcome back home, honey. We've been apart for like many hours.
I know. Almost like 36 hours. Oh, gosh.
We better tell people what we've been doing. First of all, you need to know this is Linda's birthday week. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, man. Richard loves to make a big deal out of my birthday,
and I'd rather just forget it. No. You know, you love it. We went down there. We just drove on down to St. George to have a little private 2 or 3 days to celebrate Linda's birthday. And then it got a little complicated, and we had to start surprising Linda.
Oh, my goodness. Our kids called Richard and said,
And they texted me and they said, we need our mom. And I'm like, well, I need your mom. And they said, well, we really need her for her birthday. And I said, well, so do I. And we kind of negotiated, and and Linda didn't know what the heck was going on. And then yesterday, what happened to you? I just did what with you?
Well, he told me we were going somewhere. The only stipulation is I needed a really warm coat. And then we got in the car and started driving, and it wasn't toward the airport, so I couldn't figure out where it was.
We were
driving out into the desert. And I thought, my gosh, there's nothing that I need a warm coat for.
You got it in your mind that we were going on a helicopter ride.
Yeah, I thought, well, maybe it's a helicopter ride. That would need a warm coat. Or maybe you're going to the caves, but they're all melted. I mean, I know, I just could not figure out what it was. So he ended up dropping me off at the airport.
Well, I put her on a plane and I said, now when you land, there will be someone with a code, and you don't go with anyone unless they have the code 78. And so Linda said, okay, and she flew away. And then I don't know what happened.
Well, then you said go to a passenger pickup 5 in Salt Lake City, which I did. And I stood there, and there was nobody there, and nobody there, and nobody there. And
you were looking for 78 people were coming. On license plates.
Yeah, but I just was. I tapped on a couple of windows and said, "Are you an Uber?" I thought there must be an Uber picking me up.
Oh, did you?
You
did
didn't
you say,
tell me.
Are you 78?
No, I didn't say. I said, "Are you an Uber?" first, and one guy was kind of an Asian guy, and he looked terrified that I'd knocked on his window. And he said, no, I'm not an Uber. And then I started one more, and he said, no, I'm an Uber anyway. I'm not an Uber. So I just kept waiting. And then all of a sudden, along comes this car whizzing up, and there's these big numbers in the window that say 78. I thought, oh, that's it. So the papers came down, and lo and behold, behind the papers was my daughter, Shawnee, and her sister, Saren, was driving. And they picked me up and whisked me off to Deer Valley, where Shawnee has a place, and they had arranged for. I had no idea that it was more than just them. Shawnee had flown in for something in Ogden, but sort of just to come and do this for my birthday. And so people just kept showing up.
When you got there were all your daughters and your daughters-in-law.
Yeah, well, not all of them.
And a couple of extras.
One of them had to work. And we have a couple that I'm kind of mom to, who I adore. Maureen, who went with us to Romania, and we had a long, funny talk about that.
And Amy, who went with us everywhere.
And Amy, who is kind of like part of our family. Sadie's one of Sadie's dear best friends, and we love her so much. She lives in England, and she happened to be here. So
You've got 10 daughters if you count those two, you know? 4 daughters, 4 daughters-in-law, and those 2 extras.
Yeah, that's true. Am I lucky or what?
And if you count Eva and Courtney, you've got a dozen daughters.
Oh, that's right.
Let's start counting everybody.
Man, we should. But anyway, it was so dear. It was so fun. We just talked about old times.
You stayed up till
their childhood.
You had a sleepover. That's what you did.
We did. We had a hot tub. We had a sleepover. And it was just so
and it was snowing
fun
in Deer
to
Valley.
Talk about old times. And of course, we made cookies.
Wasn't it snowing?
It snowed. It was beautiful up at Deer Valley. Beautiful big flakes, and just for my birthday, I'm sure. But anyway,
Now, where was I? I was lonely. That's where I was. I was still in southern Utah, and I was going to stay an extra day and get some work done, but I was so lonely. I just got in the car and drove back and
oh, honey.
got here about 1 o'clock to back to Salt Lake, and then just waited, waited, waited. And now, just like 10 minutes before we started recording, I got you back.
Got back together. Well, you went to play tennis, and so you were doing a lot of things too.
Oh boy, oh
And
boy, oh
I'm
boy.
getting ready for Easter. It's the Easter season, and I don't know when you'll hear this,
We're
but right
recording
now
on
we're
Good
recording on
Friday.
Good Friday.
We love Good Friday, and we're just so excited to celebrate Easter. And we're going to have 33 of our family dropping
And
in.
some extra people. We have the most delightful couple of men who are Haitians. They're from Haiti. Their families are still in Haiti. They cannot get their families here.
Oh, if you're an immigrant right now in this country, you are just so, oh, it's so hard.
It's
And
so
their own
hard.
status is in jeopardy, but and their lives are in danger if they go back to Haiti because they did some things that sort of were contrary to the gangs that you say you're supposed to get political asylum if you're in danger from the government in the country that you left. But in this case, Haiti basically has no government.
It's just
It's
ruled by gangs.
gangs rule it, and so we're trying to help them, and we have Senator John Curtis's office trying to help and see if they can't get asylum, political asylum, because if they can get political asylum, then they can bring their wives and their children. And right now, their wives and children are, one of them was kidnapped the other day. They're trying to keep them ahead of these gangs that are after them, and they don't dare. I said, well, you better go back and protect your families. They said, well, if we go back, our families are in even greater danger because it's really us
Yeah,
that the
they'll get
gangs are
us.
after, and that we're the ones that they think have money, and so we can't go back, and we can't get our wives to come to us or our children. And this
Oh,
has
the
gone
more
on for 2 years.
farther we go, the sadder it is with these guys, but they're such good people.
Such good
One of them
people.
was the bishop of his congregation. His wife is so dear, and they have three kids, and when they were in the city, they had to move out of the city because the gangs were coming after them because they organized an orphanage.
They
There were a
build
bunch
an
of
orphanage.
orphanages sitting, I mean, ch orphans sitting around, these poor children without any parents at all. And he found them, and Robinson found him and his wife, and they actually built a little orphanage for like a dozen, 15 little kids
Yeah, and then that
without
actually, in a
parents.
strange way, turned the gangs more against them. You might say, why? Why would it do that? Because apparently, these gangs are resentful and protective of anyone who becomes popular or who has sway with the people or who has
Money
influence
or
with the
money to
people or
build
any
an
kind of money.
orphanage,
They
you know,
want
they
to
must
run
have money
everything. And so,
somewhere.
trying to build this orphanage put them even in more trouble with these gangs who then began to threaten them. They had to move. Oh, it's a story. It's just,
Is
it's
just
an
a
unbelievable story.
unbelievable, but
But we're so
anyway.
glad we can try to help, even though we don't know what to do next exactly. And we have had some great help from the senator's office and from a good attorney who's helped file their asylum application, at least. And
Anyway,
anyway, they're going to join us. And what a great thing for our kids to have a chance to encourage them and help them and be here with them and celebrate Easter. We can all turn our attention to Easter.
Easter is the thing, and we, as you know from listening to us for a while or even a few years, we are adamant Christians. We love Jesus Christ, and this week, in the last 10 days, we have been to 7.5 hours of a production called The Chosen in theaters, is now in theaters. And they do such a beautiful job of portraying what it may have been like. Probably was very similar to what it was like when Jesus was here. And the central character, of course, is Jesus, but it is just such an inspiration to watch that.
You know, we've really had a long history of well, I don't know how to say it. Partly it's a history and partly it's an opinion history, because we've really always never felt, I mean, no one, no Christian feels completely satisfied with any portrayal of Christ, because it's impossible to portray someone who's immortal and who's God by a man. But we had an experience while we were in England those many years where an impresario named Lou Grade, produced an 8-hour production called Jesus of Nazareth. Some of you have seen it. It ran every Easter for many years on television, and we became really close. We became good friends, and I wrote a marketing plan on how to get that film out to more of the world and so on. And yet still we were not impressed with the person who played Jesus, because no one can measure up, even come close. But I think The Chosen, of all the ones we've ever seen, yeah, at least you don't sit there the whole time watching and saying, oh, you're just not right.
No,
Jesus.
We just love that guy. And I'm, you know, who knows what Jesus really looks like. But, and he's probably more, he's a little bit dark skinned too. So
the actor,
Middle Eastern,
this,
yeah.
But I, you know, I've given up worrying about Jesus being depicted as a blue eyed Norseman or as a, and I think it's kind of wonderful in the way that every culture has their own Jesus, and that Jesus can look like them in their minds. And that's the way it should be. I love that. We have a picture our daughter gave us of a drawing of Jesus that's very Middle Eastern, and it's wonderful to contemplate that. And it's
and
just
we
wonderful
have
to
another
contemplate
painting
who
that
he
she,
is.
Yeah. Another painting that she gave us that is so interesting, like half of him is dark and half is light, and half is dark hair and light hair and blue eyes and brown eyes. And it's just so interesting to walk by. One side looks more feminine than the other, because he loved everybody no matter what, and he had to have so much of everything in his body to do what he did. So
one
it
of
was
my,
just really great.
One of the books I've written, my own personal favorite, is probably still a book years and years and years ago called What Manner of Man? And all it is one little reading for each week of the year about one facet of Christ, one aspect, everything from his physical presence to his charity to his loyalty to the Father, and just these little parts trying to worship in a way, even though we admit our minds can't comprehend either the glory or the suffering of Christ. But you know, and Linda, it's interesting, we weren't planning to talk about this, but as we do, I remember how 30 or 40 years ago in our speaking, when we would travel the world and we were in Muslim cultures and Buddhist cultures and Hindu cultures and so on. And we used to be so careful not to brand ourselves as different religious tradition. We tried to steer clear of it. We tried to just talk about families, which are the universal unifier of people. But over the years, we've just become less and less cautious about that. We want people to know our belief in Christ, but we want to respect their belief in whatever it is. And we've decided just in our own minds that, you know, to understand and try to question and grasp and be curious about each other's faith traditions is the way to go, and that everyone should say what they feel, and then you get real, you get authenticity with people, you know.
Right. So anyway, with that, we're going to take a little break and we'll be back.
We're going to talk a little more about this, how to live the second half of life, because our whole focus, as many of you know who listen regularly, is just shifting now to three-generation families. We've spent, the podcast is now in its 15th year, And as those of you who have been fan or followers for a long time know, it's been about families all the time, but generally parents and children. And now we're trying to expand the view in three generations families, whether you're a child or a parent or a grandparent. Those are the three generations, and fitting them all together in the way that benefits all three is, we think, the key to pretty much everything.
Yeah, it is. So hang on. We'll be right back. Lots to talk about.
Welcome back to Iyer's on the Road. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
And we're back. We hope that you are celebrating Easter somewhere or whatever holiday it is. I mean, Passover. Passover is now, too.
And yes,
it's
that's
wonderful.
Right.
Oh, there's so many Jewish traditions in that movie that we saw that we didn't even understand. They're beautiful, absolutely astonishing. So,
absolutely. And during the little break, Linda said, a little more energy. She was kidding, because, it's okay, because you got to remember, Linda, I drove till 1:30, 2 in the morning just to get back to you. So
I know, and then I'm
going to juice
tennis.
Up. Yeah, that's
a
right.
A really hard tennis game, and you lost. You could admit that one time.
I sure did. Man, the guy I played today, we're pretty even, but today we were not even. Of course, he's much younger than me.
Oh, well, that counts. That counts for sure.
So let us just kind of share with you again, this podcast is actually, even though it's for everyone, obviously, it's an integral part of this little online course we're doing called How to Live the Second Half of Life. In fact, Linda, I haven't told you this. All 5 hours driving back last night, I listened to, again, we'd heard a lot of it. I listened to the entire Arthur Brooks, who we heard speak down in St. George, by the way, his book, From Strength to Strength, which is probably one of the most thorough treatments of the second half of life, what happens to your brain, what happens to your body, what can happen to your emotions and your social life and so on. And I really enjoyed it, and we're incorporating a lot of that into this little course. But this course is more of a how-to course. It's more like, okay, if we're in the second half of life, how do we make the most of it? How do we quit living the same type of life that we lived in the first half, where we're accumulating, we're aggressive, we're building, we're proliferating, we're propagating, we're building our lives and so on. And now in the second half of life, and we define the second half as, you know, if you're in your 50s, you're in the second half. And if you're in your 70s, if you're in the 80s, you might say, well, I'm in the last quarter. I'm in the final set. I'm in the fifth set. I'm way beyond those early second halfers. But we love the idea of a course for everyone in their second half, because we learn from each other. And a lot of 50-somethings can learn a lot from 70-somethings. And we can all benefit from each other's perspective, right?
Right. And I have to say a little more about this Arthur Brooks talk, because we'd heard him speak one other time at BYU, and he was fabulous. And this time it was totally different, because it was a different audience. It was city leaders, planners, leaders from all over Utah.
The Utah League of Cities and Towns. So it was everyone from mayors to city managers and so on. It was a really interesting group. And he was really talking to them about, you know, the phases of life.
The phases of life, saying that the most important things in your life are faith, family, work, and friends.
Friendship.
And
yeah.
I think friends is something that we don't always add, but friends add so much to our lives.
You know, he said something about that on the book that I hadn't heard the first time through, Linda. He said one time his son came to him, his adult son, and said, Dad, what are your three fondest hopes for me? And he said he thought about that for a week or so. And he didn't just say, oh, I want you to be happy. He thought about it for a while. And he decided that happiness wasn't his fondest hope for this child, because happiness is one side of the coin. You're going to have happies, you're going to have sads, you know.
You're going to have hards.
He finally really said it hard. With my hope for you is faith and family and friends, just the three things you mentioned. And then he said a really interesting thing on the friends point. He said, I've decided that's such a good question, I should ask it to myself about my friends. In other words, if I have a good friend, and he said, you can't have too many real good friends. He said, in today's society, and we all know this, we've talked about it before on the show, but you know, you might have 1,000 Facebook friends, but who are your real friends and how many do you really have time for? And he said, the happiness statistics show that if you have at least two, one your spouse and one other who's really a good friend, you're in a high zone for happiness. If you have two really intimate friends, and if you have three or four and five, that's all the better, but you can't have 20. I mean, it's these are intimate friends. And he said, I decided I need to start cultivating those friendships, and the way to do it is to treat them the way I did my son, to ask myself, this is my friend, this is one of my few really good friends, what are the three things I hope for him? And how can I give those things to him? How can I help him with those things?
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, I have never been that serious about a friend. I mean, I've said, oh, so-and-so is my friend. But why haven't I said, what can I do for him? What are the three things I most wish for him? And how can I help him have those things? Isn't that powerful?
Yeah, I thought he was so interesting. He really got into politics a little bit. Too, and
well,
saying how,
carefully.
Yeah, very carefully, but very wisely saying, you know, we're at a place in our country where we've never really been before. He said 2009, the iPhone was invented, and that changed
everything. That's where the
everything.
Graphs all
that
started turning
everything.
Down as far as loneliness, as far as happiness.
Yeah, and then he said in 2020, was it? COVID changed so many things with the way we work.
With our relationships.
With our relationships with people, with fear and all those things that came along with COVID. And then he said, now our country is in such turmoil that that is another big change that he's never seen before. And I just loved how he worked through that, saying, you know, you can have anger without having hate. You know, he was so interesting.
Yeah, for sure he was. And I think what we need to say, Linda, to our listeners, because next week, the podcast after this one, the next episode is going to be whole hog, both feet full on into this living the second half of life and having three generation families. And you know, the transition from Arthur Brooks, he really has influenced us on several of the parts we're going to talk about, including the idea that, you know, and I'm adding to what he says, but we have a different kind of intelligence in the second half. Our brains work differently. We have a different kind of emotional intelligence in the second half. We have a different kind of spiritual intelligence. And what we're saying in the course is of the five facets of your life, The trick in the second half is to manage the inevitable decline physically and mentally on those two points and to make it very slow and in some ways even level. But on the other facets of life, on the emotional, the social, and the spiritual particularly, and the familial, those six facets get better and better and better in the second half. They can get better and better. And that's what we're really trying to say in the course. And some of you might be interested to know, and when we say online course, what are we talking about? A lot of people assume that means a bunch of Zoom meetings or online classes. And no, it doesn't, because we know our audience. We know that there's over 500 people signed up now, and we know who they are. We know their demographics, and we know they don't have the they're not going to sit down every 2 days and at a certain time and spend an hour on the class. This is totally flexible. So the way we've set it up, we have an anagram for it. We call it the OzPie method. It's going to be taught by the OzPie, OZPIE. Now, aren't you curious what those things are, listeners? Well, OZ is occasional Zoom. There will be an occasional Zoom, but you don't have to be there live. You can watch it anytime. You can watch it that night or the next day or on that weekend or whatever. So it's up to you when you consume this. So OzPie, then the PIE is podcast, Instagram, and email. And again, those you can consume whenever you want. The podcast is this podcast, which will be once a week. And that's, we're thinking of that as part of the course. As many of the 500 in the course who want to will be on here. Many of them already are joining in as part of the audience. Then Instagram, we just have one Instagram, and it's just, you know, it's just one place. And a lot of people say, oh, I don't want to do social media. Don't get me on that. We say, well, you don't have to. All you have to do is follow one account on social media, and that's Richard Iyer, HTL, Richard Iyer, How to Live. That's an Instagram account, and you can only look at that one and no others. And that works really well because we do these little short videos, just 3 minutes or 2 minutes, on a little point about how to live the second half of life. And again, you can consume it anytime you want. You can watch it when you have a minute. You can watch it before you go to bed, or you can watch it in the morning while you're having a walk or whatever you want to do. And then last, the emails. Surprisingly, the emails we're having a little trouble with because some of them are going to people's spam, and we're working on that, so that won't happen. But the bottom line is how to live the second half of life. And we'll put it in the show notes. You can sign up for free. So many of you have. It's just amazing. We thought maybe we'd do the class with 100 participants, and we've got over 500. And we're glad, because the more the merrier. We can share. We're mentoring each other. You can comment on the Instagram. You can reply on the email. You know, there's ways that you can. It's not a one-way street. You're not listening to us. You're giving your own ideas, and we're surveying you, as those who have joined the course, and we know it kind of spreads. There's those in the first half of the second half, like people who in their 50s or maybe their 60s, and there's people who admit and know and acknowledge that they're in the second half of the second half, like us.
The last fourth.
Like yeah. us, yeah.
So it's interesting to think about as we grow older. And for those of you who may be younger that are listening, we hope that you'll recommend this to your parents or people that you love.
And listen in, because again, a lot of it's on the generations, right? Like if you're a parent,
right, yeah,
it'll help you to deal better with your parents and with your children, three generations.
Right, exactly.
But go ahead, you're right. I mean, this whole... I think we relish it, don't you?
We do.
Even though
my birthday's coming up, and I'm thinking, I don't know if I love being 1 year older. We're getting to the age where every year makes a big difference. And well, every year always has made a big difference. But you know, when you're a teenager, when you're a young adult, when you're a young parent, and so on, and then you get to be an older parent, then you get to be a grandparent. And it really does change your perspective, and it gets richer and deeper and more amazing. I mean, there are more hard things as well as more great things, because you've got so many people in your lives.
Do you think we're just kind of conning ourselves in? Do you think we're trying to talk ourselves into the fact that we like getting older? Or do you think we really believe that?
Today? Today, I'm not sure I like getting older. But maybe tomorrow, after the birthday.
We are kind of talking ourselves into it, but that's good. That's what we want this class to do. We want this class to sort of at least semi-convince us all that getting older is not the worst thing. And it's a good thing on so many levels. It's hard on some levels, but really, really good on other levels.
Well, we have... love being with you today. Spring is coming. We're so excited. It was really lovely down in St. George. This is southern Utah, for those of you that aren't aware.
Red Rocks.
Red Rocks, gorgeous scenery. But we came back up and it was snowing. It was snowing up at Park City and then up at Deer Valley. We watched the people get on the chairlifts today. This morning as we woke up, there were a lot of people on chairlifts. And as we're recording this, it is April 19th.
It's the 18th.
They're closing up there on the 20th. But wow, it seems amazing. I remember we only had one birthday party that I can ever remember in my whole life. And it was April 22nd, and it was an outdoor party, and I was so excited.
What do you mean we only had one birthday party?
Yeah, we didn't do birthday parties much.
When you were a little kid, I was going to say you never escaped it since I got a hold of you.
No, but it was really so exciting, and then it snowed. Oh, wow, I was so disappointed. I thought I'd never recover. I was only about 9, but anyway, I recovered.
Thanks for joining us on Ayers on the Road, How to Live the Second Half of Life. And we'll put in the web where you can sign up for free for the whole course. But we love you all. We're glad you're in this deal with us, and we hope we can help each other.
Thanks for joining, and we'll see you next time on Ayers on the Road. Bye-bye.